101.1 The Wiz, Cincinnati's number one for hip-hop and R&B, and the home of the Russ Parr Morning Show. Miss Ebony J checking in on the only show where real talk meets real people, the Ebony J Show. And gotta say, today we have with us a special guest. Her name is Miss Ray Lewis Thornton. How you doing, Queen?
I'm good.
That's good. How your day going so far?
Girl, busy.
Busy?
Yes, Lord Jesus.
Well, since you busy, we just gonna go ahead and get right into it. Talk to me, Ms. Thornton. Tell us about your journey with AIDS and HIV, being an activist.
Well, you know, I'm glad to be here. Thank you for having me. I was infected with HIV when I was 23 years old. It was an era where they were still telling women you couldn't get HIV. It was an era where there were actually no medicines to treat HIV. So I've been infected now for 31 years, and I've had AIDS for 22 of those 31 years. And, you know, my first 7 years, I lived in denial and shame. I didn't talk about HIV. I didn't read one article about HIV. And when I made a transition to AIDS, life began to change for me. And I started to tell everybody that I was dying. And God, of course, had a different plan for me. And within 6 months, I started speaking locally in Chicago high schools. And then 6 months after that, I met Susan Taylor, who was at that time the editor-in-chief of Essence magazine. And she asked me, would I be on the cover? And so I became the first African-American woman to tell my story on the cover of a magazine. And, you know, the rest has been history. I have been humping for the last 20 years, challenging stigma and shame, and talking about my life and being transparent about the impact that HIV has had on me.
Wow. What was one pivotal moment that, like, let you know your journey and life changed?
You know, it really was when I made that transition to AIDS, because I, you know, worked in politics prior to this. I was up-and-coming political organizer. I worked for presidential candidates. I started very early in politics at 19, and so when I found out I had HIV, it was really a cruel time to talk about this disease, so I kept it a secret. I was not getting ready to let it affect my career. But then when I made a transition to AIDS and the life expectancy for somebody back then was 3 years, I felt like I had to tell. But telling friends and family didn't mean that I was going to start speaking. And on a fluke, well, you know, I say a fluke, but really in God's plan and timing, someone asked me to speak at a high school here in Chicago, and I was like, I don't think so, you know, because kids can be mean.
Yeah.
But they convinced me, and I spoke. I went to this high school, and I spoke, and the bell rang, and another group of students came in, and the bell rang, and another group, and I noticed about the third workshop that there were students that were still there. And I went to the teacher and I said, why are you making some kids stay? And she said, Miss Lewis, that was these kids are skipping class to hear you speak again. And I thought, really?
Wow.
And then the next day I came and the room was just jam-packed. Kids who had heard me speak wanted to come back again, those who weren't scheduled skipping class to see this black woman with AIDS. And at the end of that day, a little Hispanic girl came up to me and she said, Miss Lewis, I know you said you weren't a public speaker, but you shouldn't stop because the Lord is using you. And, you know, I hugged her and under my breath said, what'd that child know about the Lord using somebody? But I couldn't shake it. I woke up thinking about it. And I tell people, when you can't shake it, it's God. I couldn't think. I just couldn't. That's all I thought about was those kids. And I woke up one morning about 2-3 weeks later and quit my well-paying job with my silly self with no speaking engagement set up and no brochure on how to go about another gig. But I knew in my heart that this is what God wanted me to do, and then I just kept speaking. And then from there, I received a community service award for the expo for today's black women here in Chicago, and Susan Taylor was the keynote speaker. And she heard me for 3 minutes speak. And as I was walking off the podium, she said, she grabbed my arm and said, can I do a story on you? And I said, yes. And about 3 weeks later, she called me and said, Ray, we've discussed it, and we would love for you to be on the cover of our magazine. And I said, Miss Taylor, there's not a black woman in America who would want to be on the cover of your magazine, but you know nothing about me. You heard me speak for 3 minutes. She said to me, Ray, I believe you have a story to tell, and I want to tell it. But it really was, Essence was that thing that brought me to a national arena and gave me a national platform. And I thank God for Essence. This is the 20th anniversary of my cover story, Facing AIDS, where on the cover they said that I was dying of AIDS, and I'm still here. Hallelujah.
Still alive. Ain't God
good? You know,
good.
That's some, honey. And they featured me in the December issue, this month's December issue, to reflect on the 20-year anniversary of that iconic cover story. But it really was talking to those kids that I knew that God has something for me, that God was going to take this ugly, this thing called AIDS and do something awesome with it. And it was when I surrendered it all. And, you know, people live a lifetime and never really know what it is they're supposed to do. And I know instinctively that God's given me a unique gift to talk about my life in a way that it enriches the lives of others. And that's so needed because HIV in the black community is still, we are so disproportionately impacted by this disease.
What do you feel is the most common misconception about it?
That you can't get it. Everybody thinks that what they're doing is better than what the next person is doing. Everybody thinks they know their partner, but baby, I tell people every day on Twitter, I hope you know what you think you know about your partner. Otherwise, you're an effing fool because you really don't know what you don't know. And so, and because you don't, you know,
yeah.
If the penis ain't in your pocket, you don't know what it's doing when it ain't with you. And so that's some real talk there.
Real talk right there.
You know, that really is the big thing. Everybody thinks that somebody else can get it other than them. And the saddest part is that HIV is so preventable. All you have to do is use a condom, you know, at one level. And then the other piece is that people are just afraid to get tested.
Yeah.
Like it's like, you know, you got something growing in you and you won't go see what it is. And the unfortunate part about the African-American community is we find out late in the progression of disease. And that's because we don't get tested and we don't know because there are really no HIV symptoms. The symptoms don't come until you really have AIDS. And by that time, you've been infected a good 8 to 10 years.
Right.
And so, you know, my big thing is to go get tested, know your HIV status. It's like, you know, taking your blood pressure and knowing what your blood pressure is, knowing whether or not you got high blood pressure. Why not just find out? So, because if you find out early, you can live years and years and years and years with treatment and care. We've advanced with HIV. You know, when I was infected, there was no medicines. Then there was one medicine. And now there are over 30 medicines. So someone really can live a long life if they go get tested and know their HIV status. But still, even with treatment and care, HIV is a hard disease. That's another misconception. Oh, all you got to do is take a pill a day. Well, I take 15 pills a day.
Wow.
And HIV is not easy. It is a hard disease to manage, and you got to manage it or it will manage you. Depression is very common among people with HIV. And, you know, there's just so many things connected to HIV that if you don't have to have this illness, don't get it.
Right.
You know, and so, yeah, we can keep you here. But why would you want to have to take pills? And so that's what I say. Use a condom and get tested. That's the bottom line in the 21st century.
It's better safe than sorry. And I want to say this because I've heard someone speak that had it, and it really changed my life and really scared me in a way that I felt compelled to. If someone even wanted to talk with me about sex, my response would be like, well, let's go get tested. I don't feel like we should talk about anything about sex until we get tested. And the reaction that I received from multiple gentlemen when you respond with them like that is like, are we that lazy? If you know there's nothing wrong or you really want this to work, why wouldn't you get tested?
Why wouldn't you want to know? And you know what? And this is for me, it's like sometimes you want to say to women, because men will say, well, what you think? You think something about me? No, 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 boo-boo. I would think that if you care about yourself enough,
yes,
that you would want to know your HIV status. And my position is, if you don't care about yourself,
you don't
how
care
am
about
I expecting
me.
You to care about me?
You don't care about me.
Absolutely, because you can't love, if you don't love yourself, you can't love nobody else. And that is reality. But I want to put a little caveat here, because I want women to get tested. I want women to get tested with their partners, but I don't want you to go get tested and then think, because you both negative, that y'all can still have unprotected sex. Because, like I said, you think you know, you hope you know what he doing, but in the end, you really don't know. Because everybody got a story about Bob, you know, Bob that's married to Kathy but screwing
right.
Susan.
Right.
You know, everybody watches doggone it, Scandal, you know, and some rooting for the other woman and some rooting for the wife, you know.
Oh.
That's HIV looking at you.
Right.
You know, so.
It's just like you said, you have to be safe than sorry.
Absolutely, and that's really it, because, you know, at 52, I've lived over half of my life with this disease, and at 52, if I could redo something, but you can't, and so, you know, I try to part my wisdom so that women can live whole and healthy, because it really is about living whole and healthy. That's really what it's about at the end of the day.
Now, I was told that you are a minister.
Yeah,
Lord, I know. How did that happen?
And you know what? And I cuss like a sailor. Someone said once, I can't believe somebody let you in their pulpit.
Right.
But yes, I did accept my call to minister to preach. 15 years ago, Lord, let me get it right. Almost 15 years ago, about 14 years ago, my father in ministry is Reverend Clay Evans, who was a giant in the industry, preachers of preachers, but he's since retired. I do have a Master of Divinity degree. I went to seminary, so I have an MDiv. I'm seminary educated. You know, sometimes we say we got jack legs, but no, I'm licensed, I'm ordained, and I am seminary educated, and I serve on a staff, as a ministerial staff at a church here locally in Chicago. But my ministry really is a public ministry. You know, God has really given me a gift to reach people, and HIV is the thing that gets me through the door. But I talk about so much more than HIV. You know, I talk about overcoming obstacles. I talk about loving yourself, and you know the things that it takes to love yourself. I'm an adult survivor of childhood sexual abuse. I talk about that and the impact that being molested as a young girl impacted my teenage sex life. And so while HIV is the thing that I am most famous with, God's just given me a unique gift to really talk about all the issues that affect one's life and try to get people to a better place. And that's really what I do.
I am just so amazed. You have most certainly made your test into a testimony.
Girl, honey, God has kept me. I never stopped. And that's what people need to know. There may be some people living with HIV who are listening now, and they need to know that you can just keep going. And you have to think about it. I was infected very early. I've been very sick. There was a point where I should have died. But I never stopped. You know, I continued school. I have a Master's Divinity degree. You know, I have 27 years of education, and I did all of that with HIV.
Yes, I'm like, her academic background, like, you have a multiples,
yes,
right?
Multiple degrees, and I was working on my PhD. I'm a delinquent PhD student right now. Hopefully, I'll get it done. You know, I'm trying to finish up my memoir. That'll be published in March.
Hey.
And, you know, after that, we'll see. But you can live, and that's what I try to tell people, that no matter what you're facing, it may not even be HIV, but whatever you're facing, you can live it, because when you wake up in the morning, you're still a part of God's earthly plan. And if you don't try to live in that plan, then you're wasting life. And so I just keep going, like, what's next? You know, my thing is, I'm trying to see what God got for me next. Okay, what's next? What's next? What's next? What's next? And that's what I do. Now, I know some people talking about, well, she sounded so kind of holy over there, but she got AIDS. So let's be clear. I never had a one-night stand. I never had sex on the first date, but I always was looking for somebody to love me.
Yeah.
And when you dating and love and trying to find the husband and the two kids and a dog, you have sex. And you have sex in the name of love. And what I tell people is the earlier you start having sex and the longer it takes you to get married, then the more sexual partners you accumulate. So you start having sex at 16, you don't get married till you're 26, that's 10 years of dating.
Mm-hmm.
Say you don't get married until you're 36, that's 20 years. And you never had a one-night stand in any of that. You never had sex on the first date because, most women got a list of everything he got to do before you give it up. And don't be acting like y'all don't, because y'all do.
Talk real, right.
Right. But what happens when the relationship ends, you cry about it, you talk about it with your best girlfriend, and then you do what? On to the next Mr. Right.
Yep.
And that's life. And that's, what I want people to know is that getting HIV, sometimes it's not about being promiscuous. Sometimes it's not always about doing something out of the ordinary. We just living our life.
Mm-hmm.
But you don't know what you don't know. And when you're having sex that blindly, you just don't know.
Yeah.
And then in my defense, in 83, when I was infected, they was, it was still very white, very male, very gay disease. And so even as late as 1987, they were still telling women you couldn't get HIV through sex, through heterosexual sex. So, but now we know it. Like, we know everything you need to know about HIV.
Oh,
so I don't
understand
why people don't do what they need to do.
Yeah, I don't
know. And that's the problem. And so, while God has kept me and while God has used me, I'm a human being, and I've lived an ordinary life as a black woman, and that impacted my life. Looking for somebody to love me got me HIV.
Mm-mm-mm. See, that's why you got to love yourself first. Miss Thornton, how did it feel receiving the Emmy? Oh, I got to ask you that.
It was unbelievable, honestly. We did a series of news reports on my life. I sat anchor. It was like eight different stories, but some of the most important topics that affect people with HIV. And I sat anchor in an eight-part series, and we won the Emmy in an outstanding feature series in Hard News. And I have to be honest, Lester Holt, who is big on NBC now, I was up against him because it was Chicago Emmy. It was the Midwest Emmys.
Okay.
I was up against him for a couple, and I actually won the Emmy that night. And he and I joke about it now. He was like, girl, I knew I was going to get that Emmy, and then you got it. All I can say is you've got to be willing to walk through the door because, sometimes God has a plan. No, all the time God has a plan, and we can't see it. But the problem is we want to know how it's going to end up before we're willing to leap out there on faith. And so in all that I've done, I've leaped out on faith, and God has opened every door that I've needed to go through. God has rewarded me in this work that I've done. And so to have won like this most prestigious award is just beyond my understanding. And I remember when I first got it, I had a couple friends, because Negroes don't ever want to see you in your greatness, said, You got a real Emmy? Like the winner is Emmy?
What?
It ain't an honorary Emmy. I was like, no, I received the Emmy from the Academy, and I'm just grateful. I really, really have lived a lifetime, and even a lifetime with AIDS, and all I can say is that God has blessed my work. God has honored my work, and I'm just grateful.
Who has been your mentor?
I started out in politics. Jesse Jackson, Reverend and Mrs. Jackson. I was the national youth director for both of Jesse Jackson's presidential campaigns. I traveled across the country with him in the campaign, organizing youth and students across the country. And really and truly, those years of working with Reverend Jesse Jackson and under the tutelage of Mrs. Jackson, they instilled in me a sense of integrity and a sense of the need to help people and to help and bring about they instilled in me excellence. And, you know, I tell people all the time, I remember when I had to tell Reverend Jackson that I was infected. It was the hardest thing. I had been infected for so long. And, you know, I made a transition to AIDS, and it was time to tell. And I remember standing in his kitchen, and I was like, Reverend, I got to talk to you. It's serious. And he joked with me. He was like, what, you pregnant? I was like, no. You know, in my mind, I'm like, Lord, I wish that was the problem.
Right.
And then I said, no, I have AIDS. And he looked at me. He said, you mean HIV? Because in his mind, you know, he said to me later that AIDS was a death sentence. And he was looking at me and didn't look like I was dying. And I just started talking because I talk so much. And I was just talking. And he just stopped. He said, stop. And he said, Ray, I loved you before AIDS. I love you with AIDS. And we prayed. And then we went and told Mrs. Jackson together. She was sitting in the dining room. And I laugh and tell people I used to get a banana pudding every week until she realized my butt wasn't dying. But, you know, it's just good to have people in your life. I think those early years in politics. And, you know, I was so blessed to have been around so many people when you're working in close quarters with a man like Reverend Jackson. You know, Mayor Marion Barry just died in Washington. He was an incredible man. I was able to work with him. And, you know, it's just like when you are exposed in this inner circle to so many people because they really believed, you know, out of that civil rights movement, they really believed in nurturing young people. And I'm, you know, it gave me a foundation to be able to do all of this. You know, and I even tell people, watching Reverend handle the press gave me the skills that I needed to handle the press once I became this public person with HIV. And, you know, people were interviewing me, and I've had some mean reporters. You know, I've had reporters ask me, well, how many men did you have sex on camera?
What?
Oh, girl, yeah, people
disrespectful.
Say, you know, but, you know, I'm just grateful for the people that I've had in my life that have, you know, it's always been about helping others, and it's always been about excellence. And, you know, that has been a good role model for me.
Everything happens for a reason, and everything has its own season. So I just want to say thank you so much for coming to talk with me. I know you're a busy woman.
Girl, I'm trying to get this memoir edited. it is. We're publishing it. I'm self-publishing it in March. So we're trying to get, but hey, have your followers follow me on Twitter at Ray, R-A-E-L-T. Follow me on Instagram at Ray, R-A-E-L-T. And I'm also on Facebook as Ray Lewis Thornton. But hit me up on Twitter and Instagram. I'm always there. I'm always talking.
And then everything they need to know about you is on your website, right?
It is, RayLewisThornton.com. I also design bracelets. You can get my bracelets from there. People like Kim Coles and Shirley Ralph wear my bracelets, and I'm excited about that.
They're beautiful.
And my blog, Diva Living with AIDS blog. So you can always catch me on my website, which is also my blog, at RayLewisThornton.com.
Well, thank you again, Ray.
Thank
Ray,
you,
before
dear.
You go, can you give me a quote that you live by or your philosophy on life?
Girl, I ain't got no favorite quotes. You know what? I just believe that God is in charge of life. You know, the Bible says that man plans, then God plans. Let's see who's the best planner. And I'm just so grateful that God's plan for my life was bigger than anything I could ever see.
Amen.
Amen.
You have a blessed day, Queen.
You too, dear heart.
Well, you heard it here first, Kings and Queens, from Miss Queen Ray Lewis Thornton. She just told you, make sure you get tested, make sure you stay safe, and make sure you always, always practice safe sex because you never know what your partner is doing. For more dialogue and to engage in conversation, make sure you follow us at Ebony J Show on Instagram and Twitter, and like our Facebook page as well, Ebony J Show. The Ebony J Show is the only show where real talk meets real people. See you next week right here on WizNation.com. It's 101.1 The Wiz.